Brothers and sisters, our New Testament reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 6. Our preaching will come from the Old Testament, so let's just do our New Testament reading first. Galatians chapter 6, and it comes from the verses 6 to 10. This morning. Bear one another's burdens. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due reason we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now we turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, which will also be our the text that we will be studying this morning, preaching this morning. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. And I'll read from God's word once again. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, then empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman, of a child, so you do not know the work of God, who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So far, the reading from God's word. Let's just pray for the preaching of the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've just spoken to us through your word. And Lord, as we also prepare the word this morning to your people, Lord, we ask that you will open all our minds and all our hearts and our souls. Lord, that you'll grant us the understanding and the wisdom to also discern the words of this passage now. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit will teach. Grant us open ears and receptive hearts. So when we leave here, Lord, we will leave here changed people. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Father, I'm presenting to you this morning a sermon especially written for us by John Harbin for the occasion. Be enterprising. The theme of the sermon this morning is we need to be enterprising in our work for the Lord in all our life. We are here today for the first time in this church plant. We are here for the first day celebrating the work of this our best endeavor. We're here this morning to celebrate also the significant occasion of bringing the Word of God also to a new family of faith. It is certainly an exciting occasion. When we begin a work like this, we tend to get as much information as what we can. We tend to take the best informed decision we can based on the facts that's available to us. But we all know that there's always some uncertainty about the future. We don't know at all what will happen next week or the week after that. We aren't sure how this work will work out. What will happen in the future? Will the Lord grow this work? Will it be blessed by the Lord? Will other people join us? Will people from our friends join us? We don't know. Of course, we don't know the answers to these questions. Some people can't handle these kinds of uncertainties, and they can't make a decision. Some people become paralyzed by the unknown, and they do nothing. This is why we turn to the passage this morning. The writer of the book recognizes that we will never know all there is to know. There will always be some uncertainty about the future. But we need to weigh things up and make a decision and be enterprising. We need to be both wise and bold. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer has pointed out that if you do not know God, then life is futile. Without God, life is empty and without meaning. If you live under the sun as if there was no God, then life is pointless and death seems to have the last word. This is a realistic and sobering view of life for those who do not know God. In the final two chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, God comes to some conclusions, or the author comes to some conclusions, and gives us a clear direction and a firm hope. It tells us that we should be enterprising. It tells us not to sit around doing nothing. It tells us not to procrastinate, but go forward, do your work, and press on. Be enterprising in our work for the Lord in all our lives. The writer expands on this theme by urging us to be generous, bold, humble, and busy. Generous, bold, humble, and busy. So then let's look at the first one, be generous. In verse 1, he writes, cast your bread upon the water. The word cast can be translated as sent, with the idea that this is a deliberate and planned action, not one that's just random or haphazard. Solomon, in 1 Kings 10:22, we read he sent his ships out to go and trade, to go and buy and sell gold, ivory, and peacocks. That would not have been a random instance, would it? Solomon would have planned it to perfection. But the writer extends this to all of life, not merely trade. Send your bread upon the waters, and after many days you will find it again. He extends it by saying, give portions to seven, yes to eight. He is urging us to be generous. Look beyond yourself and think of others. This is not a call to be irresponsible, but rather to be outgoing in our giving. Seven is the number of perfection or completeness. Give a complete amount, but then give even more. Go for eight. In other words, give a large amount without keeping an exact count of what you are giving. Give more rather than less. And this is not only applicable to monetary aspects. This is also applicable to our life, the sharing of love and the use of our gifts and talents. So why must we do this? Do you not know, verse 2b, what disaster is going to happen? None of us know what will happen tomorrow, or next year, or in the years to come. Some of us are thinking about our retirement, but that is hard to plan for. Will we even make it to retirement age? Think of the rich fool in the parable of Jesus who stored up all his grain and was ready to sit back and enjoy it in his retirement. And he died that sad night. And listen, be generous now. Give as you go, store up treasure in heaven where the moths won't eat it and the rust won't destroy it. You don't know what disaster may come in the future, nor do we know how long we will live. So let's give while we can. Give to those who are poor. Give to the work of God's kingdom. Provide for the work of translating and distributing the Bible. Give our support to the church as well as particular missions, individuals, organizations. We think of the Reformed Theological College, the Christian Vine Mission, Tear Fund, the Bible League, or a number of others. Give, do not withhold. The Holy Spirit encourages us in the grace of giving with a promise in verse 1. After many days, you will find it again. Jesus says something similar. Give, and it will be given you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Luke 6:38. In other words, you will reap what you sow. You will recover what you have given. The Lord urged us to seek his kingdom, and God will provide us with all that we need. Luke 12:31. He also said that if we give up our life on this earth, we will gain it in the next. Paul wrote, command those who are rich to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. 1 Timothy 6:18. God will give to you as you have given to others. So let us be generous. The second point the writer makes is to be bold. There are some things we cannot change. Verse 3. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. We have all experienced this, even this morning. You see dark clouds forming in the sky and you know it's going to rain. Sometimes the weather forecaster gives the warning of heavy rain. Apart from taking our umbrellas with us and putting our raincoats on, there is nothing we can do about this. Nothing that can stop the rain from falling. Take another example. You are walking in one of the most beautiful native forests in New Zealand, and you see a large tree that has fallen on our path. It lies where it has fallen. It's so large and heavy we can't handle the movements. We cannot change these things. We cannot do anything about them. So we need to accept what has happened or is about to happen. It is no good thinking, what if, or what might have been. It is no help saying, if only I had done this, or what if I had done this or that. We cannot change what has happened. We cannot alter the past. We have that expression, it's no use trying to restore God. This is true of many events and circumstances in our lives, even when we sit here today. We cannot alter the past, brothers and sisters. We need to accept what has happened in the past is in the providence of God, and also recognize that there are some things we cannot change or alter in the future. We also need to realize that in our planning and decisions, we cannot always wait for ideal circumstances or conditions. Verse 4 says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Here is a farmer watching the wind for a perfect day to sow his seed. He wants it to be just right, and so he watches and waits, but he never ends up sowing. And here another farmer who is waiting for the perfect sunny week to reap his harvest. He keeps putting it off, waiting for a good condition, and he never reaps his crops. It is true that There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. But if you waited for ideal circumstances, for every project you would like to begin, will we ever begin? There's a time to get started. There's a time to begin. That is also true of this work. We could have waited longer, until we had more clarity about the future. Or we could have waited longer until we had more people commit themselves to the work. Or until... But there's time to begin. There's time to get started. In this passage, the Holy Spirit is warning us against procrastination, against putting things off till tomorrow. Sin makes us lazy and apathetic. We can think of a thousand and one reasons why not to start or why not to do something. That's so easy. I'll start my regular personal devotions when things settle down at home. I'll get more involved in church life when things get easier at work. I'll take up more responsibility for the youth group when I'm ready for it. I want to profess my faith, but first I want to finish my apprenticeship. You may have good intentions, but you put off beginning because you are waiting for perfect conditions. And as a result, nothing will happen. Instead, the writer says to us, we have to be bold. The third point. Do it. Get on with it. Again, there are various expressions for this. You not need to grasp the nettle. Fight the bullet. Take the bull by the horns. But there are also exhortations along these lines in Scripture. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. Romans 13, yeah. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of God's salvation. Now is the time to believe. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. And be prepared in season and out of season, 2 Timothy 4:2. These exhortations apply to our own lives, and to our families, and to our church. There's a time for preparation, there's a time for planning, but there's also a time for action. There's a time to get onto it, to get cracking, there's a time to be bold, to get moving. Be generous. Be bold and be humble, the third. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. We do not understand exactly how new life is formed in the womb of another. It remains a mystery. So too will the work of God. Much of what he does is a mystery to us. We cannot understand it. We do not understand why he has chosen one person and not the other. We cannot fully grasp the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating a person and causing him to be born again. God's work of providence is often a mystery. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, for acknowledges us. Now we see by the poor reflection, as in the mirror of 1 Corinthians 13. This means that we must be humble. We must recognize our limitations. We do not know everything. The secret thing belongs to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29. We don't know everything, and so we are called to trust in God, to depend on him, and to live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us. We have to be generous, bold, humble, and finally we need to be busy. This is the whole point of these verses. We are to be enterprising. The passage is a call to action, to work for Christ and his kingdom. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, Don't wait for perfect conditions and don't keep pondering what God has not told you. Rather get busy. And in the evening, let your hands not be idle. In other words, keep going. Don't ease up. Don't slacken off. Don't get lazy. Keep yourself occupied. This does not exclude times of holidays. The people of Israel have holy days of rest. They also have the weekly rest of the Sabbath day. We too have the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, which is the day of rest and refreshment for all of us. A day to refresh us physically and spiritually for further work and service in God's kingdom. Galatians 6:9 says to us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we shall reap a harvest if we do not give up. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:48. We all have things going on in our lives. We all have things going on that we need to think about and plan for. A lot of things that we have to decide on, personally, in our families, in our business, school, and even in the church. We also need to apply this passage this morning to our present situation here in this new world. We need to make decisions that are wise and informed. But we can't wait for perfect conditions. We don't know whether our plans will succeed or how matters will turn out. So there's time for action. There's time to make a decision. Be generous with what God has given us. Be bold in our decisions. Be humble in recognizing what we cannot understand. And be enterprising for Christ. For he is the head of the church and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let's be bold. Let's be active. Let's be active. Let's live and trust in the Lord. Let's provide. Because we do not know what the day of tomorrow holds. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's come to the time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your marvelous word this morning. So that we could be encouraged by it. Lord, and encouraged by it in a way that, although we don't know what the future holds, we can trust. Yes, Lord, encouraged by that we do not know where this road that we started on will end. But gracious Lord, what we know is that you are in control of everything. Yes, Lord, and as you send the rain to water the fields and land, so Lord, you also send your Spirit to water and encourage to grow and grow. And we pray for that this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray for enthusiasm and courage. Yes, Lord, to be bold. Yes, Lord, to stand firm and do the things that you want us to do, and to not be led aside by the things of the world. Lord, we ask that you will be generous. Yes, Lord, not only with the gifts that you gave us physically, but Lord, with our love, with our care. Lord, in the way that we live amongst one another and with other people. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will keep us humble. Gracious Lord, for us as humans, we can so easily become haughty. Yes, Lord, we can so easily think that we are greater than what we are. But Heavenly Father, keep us humble before you so that we will recognize that all of life and all aspects of life comes from your Father's hands. Heavenly Father, as we seek to also take wise decisions, Lord, we ask that our decisions will be informed by your word. And yes, Lord, and by your Spirit. Heavenly Father, help us to grow the church using the gifts and talents and aspirations, yes, Lord, that you've given all of us. But always, Lord, under the care of your Father. Lord, help us all to speak the word fruitfully and God willing, as often as we can, recognizing, Lord, that the tree that's fallen under our path, we cannot remove. But Lord, that you will provide for us always the way out in all circumstances. Lord, hear our prayer this morning as we thank you for your wonderful word of encouragement and your wonderful word of important action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.